God bless you, Brother Joseph. I have a very important question today.
Amen. God bless you.
It has to do with evangelizations, with the brethren who are active. Now, I want to ask you, would you counsel these brethren to be very open when they evangelize? Like it says in John 3, verse 21, it says, I can read it. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So would you counsel these active brethren to be open and share their informations with the people they evangelize, or to operate kind of on the ground, protect themselves?
Yeah, I understand.
How do you operate?
Well, I operate both. You know, we go to all kinds of different churches. We go to institutions, orphanages, old folks' home. We just went to an hospital where the Lord healed a lot of people.
Yes.
I operate in both. Depends on the situations. For example, I've been in different countries, like in Asia, for example, for a few years. I was there, and like the police there, they're Hindu. Mm-hmm. And they always on the part of the Hindus, and we, the missionary, were always persecuted. And we had to hide a lot of times, and a lot of brethren, they had to leave the country because they were discovered. Because, you see, you cannot enter India as a missionary. You cannot go to Vietnam. You cannot go to Saudi Arabia as a missionary. Saudi Arabia, they might kill you. Iran, too. So you have to use wisdom. Ecclesiastes 3 says there is a time to love, a time to hate, a time to gather, a time to scatter. It depends on the situation. I know that John 3, 20, 21, it says, he that doeth good come to the light. But Jesus,
that's why I read it, because it says this.
Because some people, I know, some people say, I mean, there were Christians under the communists who betrayed other Christians because they had to tell the truth. You don't have to tell the truth. You don't have to lie. You don't have to tell the truth. Just say nothing. Use wisdom or whatever. You understand? Like if somebody says, where do you hide your Bible? Where are your Christian brethren hiding? They're in the basement. Don't say that. That's stupid. Just say, you know, learn to say, I don't know. Because, Judas was not telling the truth when he told the Pharisees where Jesus was hiding in the Gethsemane. He was betraying. It's different telling the truth and betrayals.
Yes.
Like in any war, if you go tell the truth to an enemy, you're not telling the truth. You are a traitor and they'll probably execute you.
So in God's eyes, that's not considered a lie?
What?
If you say, I don't know where the brethren are hiding, it's not
considered
a lie?
But you cannot tell Jesus is hiding in Gethsemane, so they go and kill him. In that case, was prophesied is an exception, but normally, when the Antichrist, the Nazi police would go to, an American prison and say, reveal us all your secret. The guy, if he reveals a secret, he would be a traitor. He would not be telling. Depends. You don't tell the truth to the devil, to the KGB, to the Gestapo, etc. You follow?
Yes.
No, you don't tell the truth. You just say, I don't know, or just find wisdom. Just to use Jesus did not tell the truth to the devil. Even in the Old Testament, there's a bunch of prophecies about Jesus. They're all in parables. God does not tell the truth 100% to the devil.
Okay, but what about, I understand this applies to the anti-Antichrist persecution.
But nobody does that. You know, nobody does that. The Americans have a system. They spy on everybody. They check everybody's phone. And nobody wants to tell the Americans what they're doing. In fact, they're all upset. Brazil, Germany, France, Israel. They're all offended at America. They are spying everything. They want to know the truth. But they use it against them. Understand?
But that's what I want to say. In places like Europe and America where there is freedom and they don't persecute you, can't you be a little more open?
Yeah, you need to be very, very open. We go to squares, make gospel shows. We go to churches. I've been preaching on TVs, on radios. But when you can. In India, I couldn't do that because they would arrest me. You understand? For example, look, when we were in Eastern Europe, we were evangelizing. Remember, you were there, you remember, we had a ministry of, we were witches busters.
Yes.
We had articles on newspaper because we were so upset that there were newspaper full of witches and deceiving the people. People were looking for Jesus. They find these witches say, white magics, come to me, I give you the love of your life, bring your money. And so they make somebody's husband fall in love with you because you bring the money. And so it's like such a deceit. So we started a ministry of witch busters.
They said, we help you with a sacred book. Come to us.
And so we started periodically. The director of this newspaper was a Christian, thank God, and she was kind of helping us a little. So they start publishing my articles next to the witches.
Yeah.
And I was exposed. These guys are of the devil. They just lead you to hell,
that
this
so
and
nice.
That. And then continue for years. We did that. And then after a few months, the witches went to the director's office, start yelling and screaming, how dare you put in this... Christian articles which they insult us, offend us, in other words, exposes them.
Yeah.
Exposes what the devil was doing. And they got upset and made a big scandal inside the newspaper. So the lady was a Christian, she just threw them all out.
They were looking for us.
They
but
were looking
the,
for
the
us.
The director didn't give any
information. They were asking the director information of the names of this guy because we were just signing Jesus Christ and then prophecies, all kinds of stuff. So after a while, they just were just wasting money. They lost all the customers, so they stopped putting advertising in the newspaper. The newspaper began speaking Spanish, nice and clean.
Well, the thing is that because our ad were next to theirs, and we were saying, come to Jesus, he helps you for free, he doesn't ask you money, and our phone number was there, the witches would call us.
So we learned that we had to be secret, you had to be underground, because the witches were looking for us, probably asking the devil every day revelations about us. But our God is stronger than their God. And the witches were phoning. And we learned to be very, very underground.
Yes, yes.
You remember when the phone was ringing? I was answering. Yeah, remember you were answering, and Dora too, and we were there. After 5 seconds about, the Holy Spirit would tell us, this is a witch.
Yes.
Be careful.
They were false sheep.
Yeah, they were funny. They were
pretending that they need help if we can meet because they have some problems. And that's exactly what the other people who were really in trouble were doing.
So we had
had a different spirit. Yeah. They just were pushing into meeting us.
We had to develop a spirit of discernment.
They were having too many questions who we are, and it was kind of strange. And after a while, they started with a flood of bad words and curses.
Insulting and blaspheming, you know. We just take the mask off. And it took us a while, but then after a while, the Lord helped us develop the gift of discernment.
We learned.
And after 5 seconds on the phone, beep, 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 the Holy Spirit said, witches, be careful. And so they never got us.
Amen.
And they wanted to meet us, they wanted to pay this and that. They were saying, how much does your service cost? And nothing, it was paid by the blood of Jesus, all like that. So we learned a certain situation, you just cannot operate over the table.
We had to keep our address very hidden.
Also by the religious people. You know, these people are jealous because you're not a Baptist, you're not a Pentecostal, you're not a Catholic, you're not a Protestant.
Yeah.
So you just cannot make everybody happy.
They were also phoning.
One
time the witches, one time the religious people, asking where do we live and all kind of strange questions.
Yeah, there was a guy he pretended to be a sheep, sweet sheep, this and that, but he was full of the devil. And after a while, he was exposed that he was not religious, he was actually wolves in sheep's clothing. He was phoning in the middle of the night.
Yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning.
There was a time I was traveling with my wife and you were in the mission.
I was in the mission with Dora, the two of us, and we were all taking care of the whole mission. So they would call in the middle of the night at 4 o'clock in the morning, threatening with rape and murder and all kind of weird, weird things.
Like really demonic.
So we had to stand up and rebuke him and in the name of Jesus. But the Lord kept him under control.
One time I got on the phone when I came back from the trip with my wife. He rang again. I remember it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just rebuked the devil after the guy said, rebuke you, Satan. How dare you? We are God's children. That was the last time he phoned.
But the problem is that this man, for a few months, we actually helped him, took him out, evangelized.
Yeah.
He really wanted to learn how to evangelize. He really seemed to be a sincere Christian, but we got deceived. So we learned the hard way.
Yeah. Also, we were evangelizing a lot of churches, and some religious people got so jealous, they were just kind of following us. You know, like they were following Paul and Silas and Barnabas, all this concision, those Christian Pharisees and false Christians. And they, wherever Paul was going, they were following, sowing like lies, putting the people against them. You can see that 2 Corinthians 11, Galatians, you can see everywhere. And that's what happened to us too. We were going to preach in a church, and they would just get in touch with the church and say, oh, this guy don't agree about this, don't agree, you know, especially about the rapture, they didn't agree about the rapture. So these guys are really persecuting us through the phone. And so we had to learn that if we want to continue like giving the strong message, to keep it like kind of underground. Because, see, the stronger the message, the stronger the devil fights you. Like, they that live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:12, shall suffer persecution.
It's true. And we're talking about peaceful countries, not Muslim countries. Yeah,
that's Eastern Europe.
Yeah, where it's free, the evangelization. Exactly. You can go freely and evangelize.
Yeah, now, but they used to be communist countries. Now they're free. Mm-hmm. But still, there's religious people. The number one problem was the religious people.
It's true.
Persecuting us by phone, by this and by that. Because these Pharisees, it seems like instead of preaching the gospel, they preach the anti-gospel and persecute the ones who do preach the gospel.
So it doesn't matter the country where you are. You just have to be prudent.
Yeah, this was Eastern Europe, and you know, when I was there in 1991, 92, when I began the work there, it was like people still had the mentality of the communist. Right there, but here's Deborah, my wife. How are you?
I'm good, fine. Thank you.
You don't talk much on the radio, do you?
I just passed by.
You should come more often.
Okay, I'll try. No, I remember this young boy who came to us. His name was Kalin.
Kalin, right?
Very sweet and open for the gospel. And one day you were led to give a message about Judas for no reason, but you did. And then afterwards, he was crying, I remember.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you took him in private?
Yeah, no, he asked to talk to me in private. At the end of the teaching, because I love this guy very much, because actually the guy, he came as a Swiss sheep, you know, he was a Swiss
sheep. How long was he with you?
Oh, about 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
And then after a while, he got saved, he received Jesus, really sincerely so. And so after some 6 months he was with us, this happened, that, I don't know, for no reason, I started teaching about Judas, and to be careful not to fall in the ditch. And after the teaching, he said he wants to talk to me, so we went in a private place, we talked. And he was 18 years old, very, very sweet. I had hopes. Yeah, we met him in the street. He met us, actually. And so I had hopes for him to become a missionary. He was so sincere. But then he started to cry and said, you know, I need to confess.
What's wrong.
I need to confess something. You know, I was teaching about Judas. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, my father is a colonel of the secret police. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm here to check on you and reporting on you every week, everything that happens here.
Yeah.
And he said that they are afraid that, because we have some American brethren with us, so they're afraid that this American from the CIA. Mm-hmm. But I made all kinds of reports explain that you guys are true missionaries and that you are nothing to fear and everything is okay. So we learned the situation like that we have to be very, very careful who we receive in, who we take inside the mission.
So this story, thank God, had a happy ending, but it's not always like that.
Yeah, that was Eastern Europe. You know, they even put pictures on newspaper without permission. And I remember we were evangelizing in Poland. We were there for some 3.5 years. And people were coming in the streets just taking pictures without permission. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember sometimes they were publishing pictures and without permission. So we learned that, hey, we don't want this, right?
Amen, amen.
And especially when some little devils find out where you live, you know, they just come and just write things outside your building. Like, for example, in Buenos Aires, just a few days ago, there was a manifestation of 7,000 lesbians. They attacked this Catholic church, and there were some Catholic boys who stand in front of the door. They wanted to enter the church to vandalize the church.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about barbarian. And because they didn't let them in, these lesbians, they start having lesbian sex in front of the church. Oh, actually, okay. Like the maximum.
Amazing.
The maximum lesbianism perversion you can possibly imagine. It was like, you know, when, have you ever seen dogs? It was exactly like
that's
that.
That's terrible.
There are videos on YouTube. I mean, I don't give the address because it's too horrible. And they were spraying they had a little bottle of spray paint to go inside the church and vandalize. And so they start spraying in the face of those poor Catholic young boys standing in front of the door of the church.
Hmm.
So it's like we're living in a time now that the devil is using lesbians, homosexuals. I mean, of course, supported by these communist, socialist governments like they have now in Argentina, other places, Venezuela, etc. So it's like it's no time now to build a ridiculous church building and temples which did not even exist in the New Testament. It's time to go to the catacombs, spiritual catacombs,
yeah.
Understand? Like, for example, Jesus, if you go to John 10:39, can you? John 10:39.
Right.
Can you read it? Jesus himself, he had to hide. Yeah, he said, he that doeth good comes to the light and tells the truth, but Jesus himself had to hide.
John 10:39. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand.
See, in John 8:59. See, Jesus, in order to survive, he had to escape. You can imagine Jesus running away. Somehow, that's what he was doing. Read that.
John 8:59. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
He hid himself. And John 12:36, I have another reference here.
John 12.
Look, so John 12:36, It's like Jesus was hiding himself. There is a time to show up, and there's a time to hide. Jesus was hiding. Read that.
John 12:36. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. This thing spoke Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them.
So he was preaching, be the children of light, in other words, come to the light. But then he went and hide himself.
It's true.
Does that mean he was a criminal? No, it means he was not stupid. You know, you don't, when you, we are dealing with the devil here, okay? And the devil uses both good and bad against us. Okay, we only use good.
Yeah.
In other words, we are disadvantaged. Okay, we cannot use evil against anybody. So we have to use wisdom. Jesus said in Matthew 10, be wise as serpents. I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. So I suggested to all the brethren now who are acting, all the brethren who are just warming up church benches Sunday morning and singing song, blah, blah, the devil doesn't persecute them. I mean, not at all. Those churches are the blessing of the devil.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they build so many church buildings. The devil is blessing them. The Antichrist government are financing them. The Maoist, communist, Chinese, they are giving money to the official church to make a church building because they know that the Christians go there and they enter in lethargy. The active Christian, they're like Jesus. They're like the early disciple, the early church. They operate in house churches where the devil never knows where they are.
Yeah.
It's not like now in Middle East, they just pass by on a motorbike, throw a bomb inside a church where they're praying, keep driving. No, no, not at all. They, the true Christian, the early church, they would hide. They would meet in private houses. The devil never knew where they were.
Yeah.
You got that? That's the solution. I recommend all the brethren, close those buildings, those temples, which don't exist in the New Testament. Close them. Get all those Christians out in the streets like Jesus. Walk in the streets like Jesus. Go look for the lost like the early disciples. And don't go to sleep in those tombs. These religious buildings are becoming tombs. In fact, real tombs, because they just die inside there. I mean, dying in a war is no problem. You can be a martyr. But die as a stupid in a place that you're not supposed to be, that's wrong. All right?
Also, you know, I want to mention that we've been a lot studying the Bible here in the mission to find out the right balance, how much to reveal to the outside world about us. Even if you're in a peaceful country, we were studying the Bible to see, do we need to give our address to everybody we meet on the street?
In discernment.
How much to tell? And the Lord showed us that.
Especially if you have children, a 4-year-old
not
child.
Not only that, because in our hearts we were feeling, we're doing nothing illegal, nothing wrong. Why do we need to hide certain informations? But the Lord showed us, even if they can do nothing against us.
But what was Jesus doing illegal?
Nothing.
You know.
But I want to mention that was our doubt as well and our question.
Yeah.
But the Lord showed us, even if the Pharisees, the witches, they cannot stop us because we're doing nothing wrong. They make us waste
but they can
time.
They can make you
and
waste.
And why give the
months.
Devil the satisfaction to waste our time with arguing with wrong people instead of evangelizing those who are really in need? Why give him the satisfaction to waste our time?
For example, we have some publication, some videos in YouTube, but we just discontinued the comments because some of the devil's people, they were typing it things blaspheming God and blaspheming the Bible and telling. So because we didn't have time to answer this guy because the devil's people are quite many. So it's like it seems like we didn't have an answer for them. We were afraid to answer. That's not the case. We just don't have time to answer
every
stupid thing the devil is doing. So we just disconnected all the comments and people want to write to us. There is an email.
Yes.
And we always answer. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Of course, when you're witnessing, you give tracts, always have an email and sometimes even a phone number for the sheep who are really sincere, who really deserve, who are worthy.
Amen.
You understand? Whenever you meet a sheep on the phone, through internet, or when you walk around the street, definitely follow up on people. Either you invite them to a coffee shop, if you are a little private in your house, which you should be, and keep your eyes open for wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to be very careful.
Amen.
So a Christian who's active, the more you're active against the devil, the more you need to be a little secret. Jesus said, be wise as serpents. Matthew 10:23 said, they persecuted in one city, flee to another. But today the Christians, they fell into the trap of religious building. They cannot run around with a building on the shoulder. So that building is becoming the tombs. So the more you're active, the more it should be kind of private. Jesus was acting many times kind of secret. In John chapter 7, he went to hide in the house of his brethren who did not believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jesus in the scripture we just quoted was hiding, running, escaping. I mean, Paul in the New Testament, he was they let him down on a basket from the walls of Damascus.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
It's only the Christians who are doing nothing, they have nothing to fear from the devil.
Hmm.
It's only the Christians who are rebelling against God's commandments to preach the gospel who are not receiving persecution from the devil. But the Christians who are obeying, 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's a prophecy. And if you don't suffer persecution, it's because either you're a dead Christian, or you're a false Christian, or you're a sleepy Christian, or you are half-hearted Christians, or you're a disobedient Christian, or you're a lazy Christian, or you're a Christian who nobody has been training you, and come over here, we'll train you.
Amen.
Even through our internet
ministry. Amen. We have some teachings.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, amen. So, conclusion, dear brethren, be sober and vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't matter if you're in a country with Muslims or persecutions or Hindus, or if you're in a peaceful country.
The Christian Pharisees are some of the worst.
Unfortunately,
I mean,
yes.
Unfortunately. The ones who bothered the most Jesus were his people, the Jewish people.
In fact, they crucified
him. And Paul
him, yes.
was exactly those false apostles, 2 Corinthians 11.
Right, right. Amen. God bless you, Brother Joseph. I want to thank you. It was very clear.
Welcome.
And we need a lot of this advice, especially when approaching the end time. And we need to be trained now.
Praise God.
We need to get ready now.
Praise God.
Learn how to handle the situations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. But, you really want to thank me?
Yes.
Remember, I'm Italian.
So what does that have to do with thanking you?
If you really want to make a barbecue. You
know, a barbecue?
You know, it's like, hey, man shall not live by, you know, we're also flesh, you know. Not with bread alone. Not with bread alone, but also a little bread once in a while.
I can't believe it. Somebody wrote in asking, why in every recording Brother Joseph talks about spaghetti?
Well, I guess it's a, what can I say, ethnic deformation. I had the blessing of the cross to be born in Italy. And, all these years I've been missionary sometimes. Very often I had to forsake my, the Italian cooking. But praise God, we don't have bad cooks here. They sometimes they have mercy on us.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless you. Praise God.
All right, we'll see when to organize that.
Let's go.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. We do without barbecue. We have Jesus Q. And Jesus Q and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, that's better than a barbecue. God bless you.
Thank you.
Praise
God.
Let's go.